Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
We are busy with what we're calling the One Series, and we're also busy praying together with a whole bunch of churches over the city, and it's really exciting. It's at the moment about 160 churches across our city. We're praying together. Isn't that exciting? And for those of you that haven't heard of this before, go to praychwani.co.za, not right now. Maybe you can do it right now. By the time I start preaching, you must be finished. But there's an app that you can download. There are prayer slots that you can book. It's been really a great blessing for me personally, checking every day what slots are available and then booking a couple of slots and just praying with believers all over the city. What a blessing. So do that. There's the only 15-minute slots. So if you want to do 15 minutes, you can do it. If you want to do more, you're welcome to do that. But what an awesome opportunity to pray with thousands of believers across the city. Amen. Another thing that we're doing together as churches is we're doing what's called the One Series. We, across the city, these churches are preaching around the same topics this month. Isn't that cool? The Word of God is going out. And if you visit churches in the area this evening, although I'm happy that you came to this one, you'll probably hear similar messages around a similar topic. And it's such a blessing. So that's what we're doing, and it's exciting, and it's a blessing to be able to dwell together in unity. Amen. Great stuff. Awesome. Is everybody reasonably warm? Okay, don't worry about it. I can't do anything about that. Maybe sit close to somebody next to you. Although, I'm Angus, I'm just going to check. Are you married? No? Then did you see what he did? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. We thank you that we have this privilege, God, that we can be called sons and daughters of the Almighty God. Thank you, Father, for your presence here. And this evening, Lord, I just said this word earlier on, and I just feel it's for us right now. Lord, we want to come like blind Bartimaeus, Lord. We want to cry out your name this evening. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us, Lord. We want to cry out louder and louder, Lord. And we thank you that even as Jesus called Bartimaeus himself, Bartimaeus jumped up and threw aside his garment that identified him as a blind man and as a beggar, because he knew his life was going to change, Lord. He knew that if he met with you, he will never be the same. And this evening we come like that. We throw off the stuff from the past, God. And we say, Jesus, we want to meet with you tonight, Lord. We thank you that even we've met with you already in worship, Lord. And right now in your word, we want to meet with you, Christ. We want to meet with you, and we don't want to ever be the same again, Lord. We want to be more like Christ, Lord. Have your way in us this evening. Let your name be glorified in our midst, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. What a privilege to share the word. It's a great privilege for me. We're talking about discipleship this evening. If you're a parent this evening, you might know that discipleship, there's a lot of different, if you think about the word discipleship and we ask you about what does it mean to you this evening, it might mean a whole lot of different things to different people. But when you become a parent, you disciple small little people. At the moment, one of my disciples in my home is a 2.5-year-old. He's a great blessing. But he didn't sleep very well last night. So if I look tired, it's because I am. But the Lord is my strength. Amen? I haven't yet fallen asleep in one of my own sermons, but I trust this evening won't be one the first time. Praise God, no, I'm kidding. But in terms of discipleship, there's a whole lot of different concepts out there about what it means and what it entails. But the we look at Scripture, there's a great example I believe part of the greatest reasons Christ came and actually went through all the actions, went through the process of discipling a bunch of guys, calling them disciples. And we are, I believe most of us, we have that concept. But although we might not have the same concept, we have the concept of us being disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have a look at Scripture just a little bit. We're going to have a look at a bunch of different parts of different, this is not exhaustive, but we're going to look at a bunch of different concepts around it. Firstly, we're starting with our relationship with God. Now, this is the foundation. I don't know if you can see my little picture there. This is at the root of discipleship is our relationship with God, right? And one of the pictures around this that I really love is that of a fountain. Scripture speaks of a rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being. And the more we dig into Christ, the more we push into Him, the more this fountain just flows out. And it nourishes us and it flows, it fills us up, but it doesn't stop there, it overflows. I mean, that's where the Scripture speaks of rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being. Such a powerful picture. Have you ever seen a natural spring, a fountain? It's an amazing thing to see. It's just water gushing out of the earth. It just keeps on coming. It just keeps on pushing up. And it's such a apt picture for me of the life that we have in Christ. The more we push into Him, the more it just bubbles up, it just runs, it just flows over. We can't contain it. I mean, it overflows to everybody around us. Let's have a look at Scripture in Matthew chapter 4 from 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed Him. It's a powerful moment. Jesus is starting to call together the group that would be His disciples, that would become the apostles, that would start the church. And I don't have time to go into all the detail. We don't have a lot of time left. But he does something very powerful here. He says to them, he doesn't ask for CVs. Do you see this? He doesn't say, "Listen, send me your resume, send me your, you know, some references and what your experience. Tell me how much experience have you got in raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out demons. We can look at all that stuff and see how you do. We're going to do some aptitude tests and then I'll get back to you." No. He says, "Follow Me." And then he says the important thing. He says, "I will make you. I will make you." Guys, we often fall into this thing. We want to follow Jesus, but before we want to do something for Him, before we want to become active in the kingdom, we want to just equip ourselves, which is great. I'm not saying don't equip yourself, but we think we have to wait. You know, I have to finish all the Bible school, get my theology degree, get my master's and my doctorate, and then maybe 10 years down the line, I come to a place where I have something to impart to somebody else. That is not God is saying. He says, "Follow Me just as you are. I will make you." And right off the bat, I want to say, as we're talking about discipleship, there's always two parts. Amen. Always two parts to think of. The one is me, as Paul writes, I'm following Christ. And so there's the part of me being the disciple of Jesus Christ, following Him. And then there's the other part where Paul writes, "Follow Me as I follow Christ." Very powerful picture of him pursuing Jesus, being Christ, the disciple of Christ, but at the same time, he's saying, "Listen, I want to take your hand. I want you to follow Me because I'm following Jesus." Are you with me? So there's always those two parts, and I want to go as far as to say, as if you do not do both, maybe you're not really a disciple. And we'll get to why I say that now. But focus here, it's not about what our experience is or how much we have done or if we have sorted our lives out. God, Christ says, "Follow Me just as you are. Where you're at now, whatever your situation is, follow Me and I will make you." Amen. Are you with me? I will make you. All right, let's carry on. Let's look at the next one. Later, this is right at the end of Christ's ministry. We've just looked at right at the beginning of his ministry. And now we're at the end of his ministry. And this is a well-known part, but I want to throw in here because this is the last moment Jesus has with his disciples. They've spent crazy times together. They've seen things that the disciples have never dreamt they would ever see. They've seen the dead raised. They've seen people healed. They've seen miracles like you won't believe. And this is the last moment that Jesus has with him. Do you know that this kind of moment you think about what you want to say? This is the kind of moment where you give it some thought and you wrestle it through and you decide, this is what I have to say. This is what I have to impart. This is my last moment with these guys in the flesh. And he says to them this. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Praise God. What a powerful commission. What a powerful moment where he says, guys, whatever you do, go and make disciples. Don't make converts. Don't just pray the prayer of salvation or sinner's prayer, make disciples. So I firmly believe that whenever we're talking about discipleship, think of those two parts. Think of you and I being a disciple of Jesus, and that involves other people, amen? People that God puts in our lives that disciple us. And it also involves me taking the hand of somebody else and saying, listen, I haven't been in this game very long. I haven't served Christ very long, but I've taken these steps, and you know what? I can help you. I can take you by the hand. I can take these steps with you. I can make a disciple while I'm being a disciple. Are you with me this evening? And I want to go as far as to say that if we are not pursuing making disciples, I don't know if we actually can call ourselves disciples, because this is such a clear important thing that Jesus is saying, listen guys, with this authority that I'm delegating to you, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. Guys, when I got saved a couple of years ago, 1991, I could have never dreamt the places that I would see and I would go because of the gospel. Honestly, guys, I grew up in a small place called Donkerhoek, outside of the city, and I didn't have a clue. But I said yes to Christ. And I said yes to being a disciple and being a disciple maker. Amen? And that has taken me places that I would have never dreamed to go. And I want to say to you that that is the greatest adventure you can ever go on. It's to say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want to see others follow you as well. Amen. What a privilege. Okay. All right, so we're looking at a bit at how, in terms of our relationship with God. So the first aspect of what we're looking at is the follow aspect. We're going to look at three different ones. So the first one is following. So it's pursuing relationship with God, and that is the core foundation of our discipleship, is pursuing relationship with Him. Okay, I'm going to have to rush through this a little bit, but let's look at a definition and description by Dallas Willard of a disciple. He says, a disciple or apprentice then is simply someone who has decided to be with another person under appropriate conditions in order to become capable of doing what that person does, or to become what that person is. Someone that has decided to be with another person under appropriate conditions in order to become capable of doing what that person does, or to become what that person is. Is that apt for us to say, I want to be with Jesus so that I can be like Him? So that I can do what He did? Jesus says, are you going to do these things and greater things? Amen. That makes me excited, guys. This is why we're here. Hallelujah. If you were asking yourself that question, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What is my job that God has given me? This is one of the biggest aspects of that is for you and I to become more like Jesus Christ. And I want to say, if you want to do this, this is not a bad idea. At the end of the year, looking back over the year, trying to see how did I do as a disciple? Did I grow this year? Ask this question: did I become more like Jesus Christ this year? Gets a bit quiet. But isn't that why we're here? To become like Him? Like Angus says, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, to be transformed into the image of His Son. Hallelujah. Now, in terms of us pursuing relationship with Him, I just want to look at just one thing before we look at the three main points. As we are following Christ in a disciplined manner, I want to ask you a important question. What was the last instruction that you received from the one that you're following? If we're following somebody in a disciplined way, it's inevitable that the person is going to give us some instruction, some direction. And in our case, if we're following Christ, and I don't have to answer now, but think about, when was the last time that I got a clear instruction from Jesus? And then ask yourself, how did I do? Very quiet again this evening. Don't say it's good news, guys. No, but I find myself often in a position where when I recognize and I've noticed that God only takes us as far as our last step of obedience. So He walks this road with us. He challenges us with stuff. He says, my son, my daughter, I want you to work through this thing. And sometimes we think, no, this must be the devil. This can't be God. This is way too uncomfortable. This is way too challenging. This I can't be Jesus. And then you're going to dodge that thing. But I want to challenge some people this evening. If things have gotten a bit quiet in terms of hearing from God, maybe it's time just to pray and go back a bit and see, what did God actually tell me? And did I actually take it seriously? Did I obey? Did I walk in obedience? Amen. It's good news. Amen. All right, let's go on. This is a good question to ask yourself every couple of months. Okay, in terms of following God, in terms of pursuing a relationship with God, I just want to look at very briefly at three main things: prayer, word, and worship. And all of these have got to do and happen in the presence of God. And this is the key. Now maybe you've noticed, but I have noticed this. If you spend a lot of time with a specific person, you kind of rub off on each other. Have you seen that? I've been married 10 years at the end of this year. Hallelujah. Please pray with me. I'm saving up. Anyway, but going to go big. Anyway. But I've noticed that, you know, if you spend a lot of time with somebody, you tend to finish each other's, not sandwiches, sentences, all right? You kind of get to know what the other person is thinking. If you have kids my age, that's the kind of stuff that you watch. Anyway, you get to know what the other person is thinking. You get to a point where you're in a certain situation and you almost know what they're thinking right now. Or you know how they're going to react to a certain thing. You get to know their preferences. Isn't it? It's such a blessing. But in a certain situation, if you spend a lot of time with somebody, you start to sound like them. You start to talk. You start using the same phrases. Have you seen that happen? Sometimes not so positive, but like when your children go to school the first time, they come back with new words and stuff. Anyway, but the amazing thing is, guys, it works like that in our relationship with God. The more we spend time in His presence, the more we become like Him. The more we know His heart. The more we know what He loves. And we know His desires, and the more we understand and we get a feel for what He doesn't like, stuff that saddens Him. Amen. And stuff that makes God excited. And the more we spend time with Him, the more we become like Him. The more we think in the same ways, and His desires become our desires. God, and praise the Lord, guys, that is what we want. We want to be like Him. Are you with me this evening? So all of these in prayer, position yourself, guys. Position yourself in His presence in prayer. Some of us, and I'm including myself in that sometimes, we get into a habit of doing the shopping list prayer. Lord, you know, we go down the list. Lord, please, you know. Have you tried that with a friend? You haven't going for a coffee and just give them a list of stuff. Can you sort this out for me, please? And then you chuck. Thanks. It's not going to go down well. Eh? Guys, what a blessing for us to be able to draw near to God and say, Lord, what is on your heart? So I want to say to us, we need to position ourselves in prayer. And that's not only in your own prayer time, whether it's at home, whether it's in the car. I love praying in the car, praying and worshiping. Don't close your eyes when you do that. Just focus. But at the same time, if you're spending time in traffic and stuff, it's more difficult than a bicycle. But in a car, what a blessing. It's time to really push into God. And I've really experienced, especially, I remember time when I was asking, but how does this really work? How does this prayer thing work? And I remember what a blessing intercession is around that. You learn to pray from people that have been praying for years. So I want to really encourage you. We do this. We do the first Monday prayer thing, where we fast together and we pray together. But beyond that, we pray in different geographical regions. So have a look on the announcement email. There's a lot of locations at the bottom there where prayer is happening weekly. Get involved. Get stuck in there. Position yourself in the presence of God in prayer. Amen. The Word, guys, I'm rushing through this, but I cannot stress this enough. There's no better investment in your life on every level than to spend time in the Word of God. God didn't just send us a text or a fax or an email. He sent us the Word, and the Word, Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Him. You know, there's such a beautiful, there's life in the Word. It's not dead. Amen. And we are really blessed in this local body. We're so blessed in terms of the opportunities that we have to learn in prayer, to learn in the Word. We are so blessed with an abundance of opportunities. I want to really encourage you. If you're not busy with Bible school right now, get into the Encounter series. Go as far as you can. Work through this stuff, and then make sure you're in Bible school as soon as you have an opportunity. When I did Bible school, I started with first year, and it was correspondence. So we still had little tapes. I was in the UK. And I bought myself a Walkman, a very high-tech Walkman. Some of you don't know what that is. You can chat to me afterwards. Feel so old now. Anyway, I remember working night shift at a hotel, and I had a 12-hour shift, and I had a three-hour break somewhere in the night, and I used to listen to Bible school. My life was transformed. Really, I kind of... Yeah, it was amazing. I want to encourage you, take the opportunity while you have lots of time. And I can't stress that enough, guys. Let's position ourselves in the Word of God, in His presence, and we are transformed in His presence. Amen. In terms of worship, worship is not only referred to us singing songs together. Also, I like to worship in the car. Sometimes you get funny looks from guys next to you at the lights, you know. But hey, they're missing out. Anyway, so I love to worship in the car. And when I used to take Abigail to school in the UK every morning, we used to sing. And she always picks the same song. But anyway, we used to sing Happy Day every morning. Yeah, driving in the car, Happy Day. But what a powerful song for a four-year-old to sing every day. I mean, anyway, that's not only when we're worshiping God in song, but it's in how we live life. Are you worshiping God in your studies or in your work? Are you worshiping God in your relationship, in your relationships and friendships? What does your worship look like in the way we live life? We are designed to worship, guys. This is part of who we are. Whether you're a believer or not this evening, you worship, because that's what we've been designed to do. So we need to pick who we worship. Amen. Or what we worship. All right, let's carry on. Time is few. All right, let's go on. So we looked at the relationship with God. That's the follow aspect. We looked at us pursuing relationship with God, pursuing His presence, pressing into His presence. And I can't stress that enough, guys. It's in the presence of God that we are changed. Guys, I spent time doing like street evangelism. I'll just tell you this one story. Again, I don't have lots of time for stories this evening, but when I was working in the UK, I had a very high-tech job. I was a luggage conveyance engineer, right, at a hotel. And so some people call it a porter. I don't know why. But anyway, so I was doing the luggage conveyancing. And I heard about this church nearby, a South African church. And I thought, let's go there. I just arrived. So I grabbed one of my buddies from work, also a South African guy. We went to the church because we heard there's going to be a soki. Okay, sorry, I wasn't very spiritual, apparently. But anyway, so like a dance thing. You guys know what a soki is, all right? So in the UK, I have to explain what that is. Anyway, so we went there on the Friday evening for the soki, and we arrived there, and there's this little group of people. It's not looking like a great vibe, you know. It's a little bit awkward, and we're like, "Yo, we're here for the soki." And I said, "No, that's on Wednesday." I was like, "Ah, oh, what are you guys doing?" Straatwerk, street evangelism. And we were like, okay, this is not really what we were aiming for, you know. But we decided to stay. And guys, my life was never the same. Guess where I was for the rest of my time in England every Friday evening. And I remember a lot, I could tell you lots of stories, but the one evening I was chatting with a guy, a Catholic guy at the station. And he just wanted to argue about stuff. He said, "Yeah, what about this? What about the death penalty? And what about euthanasia? And what about abortion?" And like, whoa, just hang on. I just asked him about his life and about his family. And I asked him about, you know, challenges. We spoke about his children. And at the end, I said, "I want to pray with you." And he said, "What? Yeah?" On the street, you know. I said, "No, don't worry, I'll pray." He was freaked out. He says, "No, we pray in church." Okay, we can pray. We don't have to close our eyes as we pray. The cool thing with praying with our eyes open is you can see what God is doing. Well, sort of. And you can see when there's a response. And as I was praying for him, he just started weeping. When I finished praying, he looked at me astounded. And he said, I've never experienced this before in my life. And what has he experienced? He experienced the presence of Jesus. Not because I'm special, but because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. I want to say to us, guys, we need to live from that place in His presence. Amen. Let's go on. Let's look at the second part is the fish part. This is a verb, okay? Our relationship with the community. How do we relate to people that God has put around us? How do we relate to our work colleagues and our family and the people we live with, our neighbors, etc.? Let's look at Luke 19 from verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He's going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen, guys. If we are becoming more like him, we want to be seeking and saving the lost. Amen. And this is such a beautiful picture. I don't have a lot of time to go into all of it, but he gets a word of knowledge. He gets this word, this guy's name. He calls him by his name. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go and eat at your house." And the religious guys freak out because this is quite an intimate thing. He doesn't just say, "How's it in the street?" He says, "I want to come and eat with you. I want to spend time with you." And Zacchaeus responds to the presence of Jesus in his home. Can you see that? He repents. He makes restitution. He's changed. He will never be the same. Guys, we underestimate the power of Christ in our lives. We underestimate the power of the presence of Jesus. When you invite your colleague or invite a friend over, we underestimate the power of getting somebody else into your space so that they can see Jesus. They can taste and see that He is good. Amen? Isn't that what Scripture says? And sometimes the picture I have is of bait, you know, or somebody, you know, we were trying to fish, we're fishing, and you're using, and there's a bit of a nibbling that happens before the fish takes the bait. Have you seen that? Maybe you haven't. I don't know, hopefully I'm not losing the ladies here, but the fish just test the bait often before they take the hook. And often we get so upset when our unsaved friends or unbelieving colleagues, they push all the buttons. Have you noticed that? Is this guy for real? And they push all the buttons. And you're like, why is this guy always pushing the buttons? frustrating us. But God, what are they doing? They're tasting. And I'm always praying, Lord, if when they taste, let them taste it and see that You are good. Amen. What a privilege, guys. I was so blessed last weekend. We were invited to a children's party. We have lots of those happening. The children have amazing schedules. And social life happening. And if you haven't been to a children's party, it's really amazing. It's actually, it's quite an interesting scientific study to see the effect of sugar on a four-year-old. There's kind of general play happening. Normally, if the parents know what they're doing, they do the cake stuff towards the end. Because once you insert sugar, lots of sugar into the equation, it just goes ballistic. It's really interesting to see. It's also interesting to see if the parents haven't prepared for this part of the party, then normally the house looks a bit different at the end. But anyways, so we were at this children's party, and I was so blessed because the parents had gone, people in church had put out their faith, and they'd invited a lot of people and families from their local school, from where their children go. And I was like, hallelujah, what a blessing. Because we were sitting there, and people were talking about the divorces and about this happening and that happening. And it was a bit of a shake for me, but it was such a blessing because I realized this is the broken world that we live in. And this is right here. This is where Jesus would have been. Amen? Guys, we need to be deliberate about engaging with people around us, engaging with someone that doesn't know Christ, engaging with unbelieving people. Guys, I want to go as far as say, we cannot afford not to have unbelieving friends. Amen? What's this pastor saying? I want to say, guys, we need to be deliberate about this. I just want to go to the next one. I want to ask yourself, how many people that are not in church, how many people that are not believers, are you deliberately pursuing a relationship with Him? In terms of trusting God to disciple someone, trusting God to love somebody, trusting God to serve somebody. Don't have to answer now. But I want us to think about this because you know how life gets hectic, you know, between the children's social schedule and your work schedule and church happening, lots of stuff at church happening. We run around like crazy people sometimes. And this is why we have to be deliberate. I'm so blessed with how many people in church are so disciplined around exercise, you know, and getting, you know, being disciplined in terms of their body and stuff. And I love it, and I want to encourage you with that. But isn't that also important for us to say, listen, I want to be deliberate in pursuing a relationship with someone that doesn't know Jesus. I want to actually set time out. I want to schedule it. I want to make a plan and make sure I get around to it because this is at the heart of who Christ is. He was continually freaking out the religious guys because he was continually getting right in there. Are you with me? Amen. At the end, we're going to pray for these guys. Eh? So by that time, you must have a list. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Now, we've looked at the follow part, us pursuing a relationship with God. We've looked at the fishing part, relating to our community and our people that God has put around us. And let's look at the last part here, the relationship, our relationship with our church family. Okay, we call it fellowship. Guys, isn't that such a blessing that God has blessed us with a church family that we can spend time with, people that love us, people that care for us? Let's quickly have a look at this scripture here before we go on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is a good way to start a scripture, right? Don't be stupid. Focus. Understand what God wants you to do, okay? Do not be drunk with wine. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Do not be drunk with wine in which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. What a beautiful picture of us fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another, speaking words of wisdom and encouragement, and walking in the light. Scripture says, as He's in the light, let's walk in the light. Let's confess our sins one to another. Let's walk in the light. Have you noticed how when there's something that you're struggling with or there's sin, there's such a power in the secrecy of sin. And the devil loves it. He will tell you, you can't tell anybody. Nobody knows about this. If God knew, He would have just chucked you out long ago. If your Christian friends knew, they'd never talk to you again. But once we bring it in the light, there's that all that power of that secrecy is gone. Amen? There's no more power in sin. Sin has got no more power over us in the blood of Jesus. Amen? So we need to walk in the light. We need to walk in transparency. I want to encourage you. Is there somebody in your life? Let's go to the next slide. Is there somebody in your life that asks you the difficult questions? Do you have people that can speak into your life? Do you have somebody that can tell you when you're messing up? Praise the Lord for marriage, guys. If you had any doubt, what a blessing in marriage. We spot each other's blind spots. There's no place to hide. It's not to expose anything, but it's to cover. It's to support, and it's to intercede for one another. But it's just like that in friendships, guys. I want to say, don't expose your brother's weaknesses. Cover him in prayer, but love him enough to talk to him about it. Amen. Guys, I can't tell you how much my life was shaped by pastors and leaders and friends that loved me enough as a young believer that would tell me, Yaku, let's just talk about this. How about this thing in your life? How about that thing? And I want to be there to somebody else. I want to be the guy that loves somebody enough to talk to them about the stuff that matters. Amen? But the thing is, it happens, but it's rare that somebody would love you enough to come to you and say, listen, I don't know if you've noticed, or let's just go have a coffee, but I've noticed this, and I want to ask you about it because I don't know if it glorifies God. It's rare, but it happens. But you know what's even better than that is when you and I go to somebody and say, I want to be accountable to you. Because that's the best way that accountability happens, is when you make yourself vulnerable and you go to somebody that loves you and somebody that loves God, you tell them, I want you to ask me about this. I want to grow in the Word this year. Please, can we read the Scripture together once a week? Or I want to grow in my discipline in this area. Can we chat once a week? Can you ask me about this thing? Are you with me this evening? So there's a place where you and I go to somebody, say, I'm making myself vulnerable because I believe God wants me to grow in this area, but I need you to help me. I need you to walk with me in this. And if the person is not so great an accountability partner, fire them and get somebody else. I mean, now, what I'm saying is that there's a place where we position ourselves in the body of Christ to be accountable, to walk in the light. And I want to say to you, small group is a great start. Have you ever thought why we do small group? Because it's nice, fellowship, and it's a nice idea? No. We do small group because it's biblical. We do small group because we believe it's the mandate that Jesus has given us. We see it in Scripture, we see it's biblical, and that's why we do the small group. If you're not in a small group, guys, you're missing out. And I want to really encourage you, if you haven't thought of it or you haven't visited one, give your name at the welcome table and we're going to give you a call. And you're welcome to visit a small group, no strings attached. We won't make you sign anything on the first evening, maybe the second week. But because, I remember coming into Rez in Stellenbosch the first time and joining a Shofar small group, and my life was changed. Okay, look, the residence is a tight-knit community. You can't get away with much there. You know, people see what you do. But I had a friend that woke me up every morning at 5, no, maybe not 5, maybe a bit later, I can't remember what time, early enough, and he woke me up with coffee and we prayed. He's now a pastor in Durbanville. But I can't describe how much that meant to me at that stage, just somebody that would make to go the extra mile and wake me up and say, let's pray. We can position ourselves, amen, in relationship, in small groups, in serving in church. There's a lot of discipleship that happens while we're serving together. Are you with me? And then when somebody tells you that you're messing up, are you willing to receive it? Are you teachable? Are you willing to change? Hallelujah. I want to close now. We've got a bit over time. And I want, if you want to stand with me this evening, we want to pray through some singing. Through some things. I want to, if the band can come up, please. We looked at the three main things. We looked at following, right at the core of us being disciples and making disciples is the way we follow Jesus, the way we pursue relationship with Him. We looked at fishing, how we relate to the place that God has put us in. I want to say this, guy. Have you seen some of the security? Even campus. Campus has got serious security these days. But some of the workplaces that I see, people have retina scanners. They've got fingerprint scanners. They scan everything. It's such crazy security. I can't get into any of those places. The church office security isn't so hot. But it's good enough. Got angels there. But the point I'm making is that there's so many places that you go that I can't go. There's nobody that's better positioned. There's nobody that's better placed to reach your sphere of influence than you are. There's no person that can reach, that is better positioned to reach your colleagues or your classmates. Are you with me? There's nobody that's better positioned than to reach your family or your neighbors. You can't say, yuck, you know, I had this guy once that phoned me. I hope it does. You're welcome to phone me anytime. But anyway, this guy phoned me and he said, Yaku, there's this guy I've been chatting to. He wants to get saved right now. What do I do? Anyway, praise God. You know, it's all you can welcome to phone me. But the point is, there's nobody better positioned. Okay, one more story. There was this guy in class with me, also he was in residence with me, and Elswichter, he's also in the defense force. And he told me the story of him. He noticed one of his classmates, now he'd been class with this guy for about 3 years, and this guy got saved in Shofar that week, and he couldn't shut up about it. He was going on in class, he was telling everybody he would care to just give half a year. He was going on about how he got saved and stuff about the Holy Spirit, half the stuff he didn't have a clue about yet, you know. He was just going on. He wouldn't keep quiet. Any half a chance he would get. And this guy was just sitting in the row behind, listening to what this guy is saying. And obviously he had a crazy encounter with Jesus and he was born again. Hallelujah. And then he said to him, yes, that's amazing. I'm also born again. He said, yeah, I'm in this other church. We believe in the Holy Spirit and stuff. And this guy was like, what? And for a moment, he was just completely taken aback. And he said, are you serious? We've been sitting in class together for 3 years. He was upset. He was sitting for 3 years and you've never told me anything about the stuff. He was angry. And it was such a wake-up call for me. I was like, hallelujah. I don't want to get into eternity one day and have my neighbor tell me, what were you thinking? what were you thinking not saying anything? And I was so convicted because God puts people around us, people. Amen. He gives the neighbor that you have, or the family member, or the difficult boss, or the difficult colleague, because they need Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, that you love us so much that you sent your Son. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't just send a committee, Lord, or a delegation, but you sent your only Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came as the ultimate example, Lord, of love, Lord, the demonstration of the Father's love in such a powerful way. I thank you, Lord, that you showed us how to love people and how to disciple and how to walk a road. And this evening, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we want to say, yes, God, we want to follow you, Jesus. We want to walk as disciples, Lord. We want to become like you. We want to be transformed into the image of Christ. And not only that, this evening, Lord, we ask boldly, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would give us the boldness to love others in the way that you've loved us. To the point where we are willing to take time and take the hand of somebody else and say, I haven't walked a long road, but I can help you with this.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.